Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
Do you love Jesus tonight? Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's give a shout of praise in this house. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We are here for you. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, can we put our hands together one more time for the love of Jesus? His presence is here right now. Is anybody happy to be in church on a Sunday night? I am so happy to be here with every single one of you. Listen, before you're seated, turn to your right, your left. Look somebody in the eye. Tell them, I'm really glad I'm sitting next to you tonight. Amen. I am so ready to dive straight into the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to dive right in. We have been in a collection of talks over the last 5 weeks called The Church, the capital C Church, that we are a part of the global community of believers throughout all generations who have chosen to put their trust and faith in Christ. And it's been 5 weeks of us gathering around this thought and this belief that we are the church. The first week, Rich talked about that we are the bride of Christ. Then we talked about we are the body, that we all play our individual specific parts. But when we come together in unity, God uses us as the hands and feet of God to shine his light in our city. Then we talked about that we are a building, that together our lives are living stones meant to build the kingdom of God. And last week, I was so encouraged by the word Rich brought. How many of you were encouraged by having a vision, that there's a vision ahead of a harvest if we will just step into it? And tonight, we're going to conclude this gathering, this collection of talks. We're going to find ourselves in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 reads this. These are the words of Jesus to you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to speak to you for the next few moments on this thought, a beautiful future. A beautiful future. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that you brought us together. We are not on this adventure, this journey alone. Holy Spirit, right now we open up our hearts to you. Speak to us, change us by the power of your Spirit. We desire you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, if you haven't noticed, the fall season, it has kicked off. And not just the fall season, but the holiday season. Right? I am so ready for Christmas. And I remember as a kid when there were no Christmas decorations allowed to be put up until the day after Thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, in the past few years, malls have completely broken this rule. Have you noticed? You walk through the mall and it is October, people. And there are Christmas decorations up. People are ready to sell you what you need to buy for your loved ones. And I don't know about you, but when I walk through the mall and you walk down the center part of the mall and there are the kiosks and everybody's trying to sell you something, right, that is going to change your life forever. And I feel so bad saying no. And so I've had to think about it. Like, how do I say no so many times? Because I don't know about you, but when I go to the mall, I'm on a mission, baby. Like, I know where I'm going. I know why I am there. And as I walk by, I'm like, okay, Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. So how do I answer in a kind way? And I've come up with something. I want to share it with you. Feel free to steal it if you want. This is my answer. Thank you, but not today. It's a no for today, but hope for tomorrow. It's pretty good, right? The funny thing about the holidays is that once we're adults, we don't go to the mall anymore to put together our Christmas list. We're going there to buy gifts for other people, right? But what if I were to tell you that this December 25th on Christmas Day, that you would receive the ultimate gift? That as you opened up this gift, that you would never, ever feel pain ever again. That never would you cry tears again. That never would your body be sick, but you would be healed forever. What if I told you that on the 25th, when you opened up this gift, that you wouldn't just talk to God and believe and know that He is with you, but you would see God face to face. That you would stand in the presence of Almighty God. Would you be excited about that gift this Christmas? Would you maybe think about that gift from here until the 25th? Come on, give me a wave. Would you be thinking about that? Like, I'm kind of excited about that. Hear me. This and so much more is the gift that we have in heaven. The gift of heaven is straight from our Creator, our Father God. And from the moment you surrender your life to Jesus, that you believe Jesus is who He said He was, that He died on the cross, that He rose from the grave 3 days later, you are now made a citizen of heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your home is no longer this earth. You are no longer bound by sin, but you are a citizen of heaven, and your home is heaven. How many of you are thankful that you have a beautiful, beautiful future? So let me ask you today, how often do you think about heaven? And what do you think about when you think about heaven? C.S. Lewis wrote in one of my favorite books, Mere Christianity, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next." It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Could it be that a revelation of heaven and what awaits us in eternity is exactly what we need to walk in strength in the here and now? Could it be that a revelation of standing in the presence of Almighty God, of having every tear wiped away, of healing being brought to our bodies, of spending eternity with God is exactly what you need to walk out your purpose and your destiny in strength today. See, you have a beautiful future, but the question is, how often are you actually thinking about the future that is in front of you? Some of us have a hard time even thinking a year ahead of ourselves. Some of us have a hard time thinking 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. What about eternity? Because it's not if, it's when you will stand in the presence of God. How many of you are thankful tonight? We have a beautiful future. So what does heaven hold? Well, it's not just heaven that we look forward to. The scriptures tell us that it will be a new heaven and a new earth where we will rule and reign in the presence of God. And John writes about a vision that he's given from heaven about eternity in Revelation chapter 21. This is what it says. Verse 1, "I saw heaven and earth, new created, gone the first heaven, gone the first earth, gone the sea. I saw holy Jerusalem, new created, descending resplendent out of heaven, as ready for God as a bride for her husband. I heard a voice thunder from the throne, 'Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making His home with men and women. They're His people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone.' The enthroned continued, 'Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. Each word dependable and accurate.'" We go on. "The wall was jasper, the color of glory, and the city was pure gold, translucent as glass. The foundations of the city walls were garnished with every precious gem imaginable. The first foundation, jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, onyx, the sixth, carnelian, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate a single pearl. The main street of the city was pure gold, translucent as glass, but there was no sign of a temple. For the Lord God, the sovereign strong, and the Lamb are the temple. The city doesn't need sun or moon for light. God's glory is its light. The Lamb, its lamp. The nations will walk in its light, and earth's king bring in their splendor. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there won't be any night. They'll bring the glory and honor of the nations into the city. Nothing dirty or defiled will get into the city, and no one who defiles or deceives, only those whose name are written in the Lamb's book of life will get in. Come on, how many of you are thankful today that your name is written today in heaven? It's a beautiful future. This vision is only a tiny glimpse of what awaits us in eternity. And I love that it says nothing defiled. Listen, there is a purity in heaven that you cannot understand because it is nothing that you have ever experienced. Heaven is a reality for us as Christ followers. What is heaven? Theologians would tell us that heaven is where God most fully makes his presence known to bless. Heaven is a place, a real place, not just an idea or a feeling. No, this is made very clear in the scriptures. Jesus himself said before he descended to heaven, he said, "I go to a place." That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Stephen, the first martyr, when he was being stoned to death, he was filled with the Spirit in that moment. And the word tells us that he looked up to heaven. He saw heaven. He saw God the Father. He saw Jesus. Heaven is a real place. And our bodies will be our resurrected bodies. Our bodies will be our best self. There will be no sickness. Listen, you can do all the CrossFit you want while here on earth, but you have seen nothing to your resurrected body. How many of you said amen, amen, amen? We know that heaven is real. It says that we'll eat and drink at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The word of God says that the river of the water of life flows from the throne of God throughout the city. But more important than any of the decor, more important than any of the descriptions, we will see our Savior face to face. And that will be unlike anything that we have ever experienced. He is resplendent in his glory. His love, his light will illuminate the city, all of heaven, all of the new earth. His presence is everything that we seek, everything that we need. Last week, I was with Dr. Caroline Leaf. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a world-renowned neurosurgeon. She is neuroscientist, excuse me. She studies the brain and has published so many books on our brain and the way that God created our brain to function. And this is what Dr. Caroline Leaf says. She says, your brain was wired to be addicted to the presence of God. That every other addiction is just a counterfeit. It's just us in our broken humanity seeking the presence of God. And when we walk into that beautiful future, how many of you are thankful that the presence of God is everything that we seek on this earth, and we will have it for eternity? It's a beautiful, beautiful future. It's funny because you talk to people and they say, oh, heaven is going to be boring. What the heck am I going to do in heaven? I'm going to sit around and sing some songs, and I'm going to live it up while I'm here on earth. Friend, you have far underestimated the glory that we have been promised in heaven with Jesus. We're talking about the creator of the world, the creator of all pleasure, the creator of all food, the creator of all music, the creator of all architecture, the creator of all art, the creator of all has created a place that is perfect, that is wonderful beyond your imagination. I don't know about you, but I don't want to underestimate it, because you cannot underestimate our God. It's that good, and it is our home. We have a beautiful, beautiful future. Heaven should hold our heart as believers. And hear me tonight. Heaven holds every part of your identity as a follower in Jesus, not earth. The scriptures make it clear. You see, our Father is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 by saying, "Our Father in heaven." Did you know that our Savior is in heaven? Hebrews chapter 9 says, "He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." If you didn't know, even your name is in heaven. Luke 10 says, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You wonder where your citizenship is? Your citizenship is where Philippians chapter 3 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." How about your home? John chapter 14 says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You have a home waiting for you in heaven. But it gets even better. The promise extends. Our life is in heaven. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Your inheritance is in heaven." 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. How many promises do you want to lift your eyes to heaven and know that everything you seek, all of your identity, all of who you were created to be, awaits you in eternity? You have a beautiful future. Everything about our true identity is in the next world, not of this earth. But why would God give us a preview of heaven now as we live in this broken world? Is it to tease us? Is it to taunt us? Is it to make us miserable so that we cross our arms and say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus"? Or could it be that God pulled back the curtains and allowed us to have a preview of eternity in his presence so that we would know that we have purpose in the here and now? Could it be that just as Rich spoke last week, that God himself has placed a seed of eternity within our hearts so that we will realize our full potential while we walk through this life? You see, I think that when Jesus speaks to us about eternity, it's because he is speaking to our here and now. I believe that as Jesus points our eyes towards heaven, it's so that we can understand that we have a calling to bring heaven to earth, that we bring the light of Almighty God into the darkest situations of this world, that as we look to heaven, we are filled up with a hope straight from heaven. And as we walk into any arena of life, people look at us despite our brokenness, despite our circumstances, despite our situation, and they go, "There's something different about them. They have a hope that I want. They have a joy that I desire. They have a love that never stops. What is it about them?" And it's because your heart knows you have a beautiful future. Jesus speaks to us. What does he say to us as his followers? Well, I believe in Matthew chapter 6, the question that Jesus is asking you and I is, where is your storehouse? Where is your storehouse? Verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Any command by Jesus is meant to be taken to heart. Any command by Jesus is not just to be pondered, but it's to be obeyed and walked out. And Jesus gives us a really clear do and don't, but it's not just like a do and don't, like check this box and move on. No, this is a heart conversation from your Savior straight to your spirit. The first thing that he tells us is he says, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I've heard every preacher that I've ever heard say that. And it's a funny saying, but it's so true. Newsflash, everything that you are accumulating here on earth, it cannot go with you into eternity. We are not called to store up treasures here on earth. It says where thieves break in and steal. I thought, that's so practical for Miami. That Jesus is speaking to us and he's speaking to our hearts. He says, do not store up treasures here on earth. You know, it's funny when you speak, especially in marriage, right? In communication, you can say one thing and the other person can hear something completely different. You know what I'm talking about? And it's so funny. Sometimes I'll go and speak somewhere and I'll speak and then someone will tag me in a post and they'll put in quotes something that I said. And I read it and I go, I never said that. So let me be really clear as we walk through this text. I'm not telling you to go home to your wife tonight and say, baby, we're going to sell everything that we got tomorrow. We're going to move out to the Everglades. We're going to read our Bible every day and just wait for Jesus to come back. No. God needs you right where you are. God has put you in the arena of life, in the circle of influence of life that you have right now, so that you can bring heaven to earth, so that you can show the darkness that there is a light that cannot be overcome by the brokenness of this world. Your life matters. Don't back away from the call of God on your life. Don't run away and hide. No, now is the time to be bold with the message of the gospel, to raise up a standard and say, we have the answer. We know the solution. We have a beautiful future. Come on. If you believe it today, let's put our hands together. Let's lift up a shout of praise in this house. We have a beautiful future. So how do we determine the appropriate approach to wealth in this generation? We're meant to use possessions and love people, not love possessions and use people. Is this not the heart of God? Did he not walk through this earth? All God, all man. And his eyes were not on the material. His eyes were on the lost, the broken, the hurting. But yet so often we watch as people get so consumed by what they can achieve, what their status is, what they can buy, and they've missed the true wealth of this life. The truth is that moments of danger, emergencies, they actually reveal where our treasure really does lie. I have two friends, they're married, they're our age, and they live overseas and they're in ministry. And these are the coolest, kindest, Jesus-loving, world-changing people you will ever meet. Humble, amazing, so much fun. And The husband went away for a couple days on a trip, and his wife, who's a dear friend of mine, told me this story. The husband went away for a couple days on a ministry trip. It was just a couple days, and he said, "Babe, listen, there's a huge time change while I'm gone, so it's going to be a pretty strenuous trip. So if you can, let's just talk during the day, and then don't call me when it's the middle of the night, even though it's the middle of the day for you, because I've got to get rest. It's a really important trip. We'll talk during the day. Don't call me at night unless there's an emergency, unless, like, your life obviously is in danger. You need help, whatever you need, but, like, let's try to stick during the hours so that we can get through this trip quickly and I'll be home." So she comes home from work one day, and she's surrounded by a great church family. She's totally safe. And she comes home from church one day with her friend, and it's late at night, and the house has been broken into. And not only has the house been broken into, but their TV is completely gone. Their computer, gone. A lot of valuables in the house, completely gone. So she immediately, with her friend, calls the police, and she reports it, and they file a report. And then she's like, "I gotta call him and let him know." So she calls the number, and they finally find him in the room that he's in, and the phone rings, and he answers it in half his sleep, and hello, and he's, "Babe, our house was broken into. Our TV is gone, your computer is gone, a lot of our valuables are gone." He goes, "Oh my goodness, were you there? Are you okay?" No, babe, I wasn't there. I'm totally fine. Everything is okay." And he paused on the line. He said, "You're okay? You weren't even there?" She said, "Yeah, I wasn't there, babe. I'm totally fine." He said, "Well, babe, why are you calling me?" He said, "Those are just material things. All I care about is you. That stuff doesn't matter at all. I told you not to call me unless it was an emergency." I was looking at her when she was telling me that. I was like, if Rich ever But then I started to think about it. Maybe he had it right. Because what could he do at that moment? It was already gone. All he could do was get angry and upset and let it ruin his focus on his true mission. How often do we let things that are temporary steal our joy and steal our focus on what is eternal? Come on. Your house is going to crumble. Your cars are going to rust. Your stock options will be gone. Your name and your reputation will cease from the lips of anyone or from their remembrance. But when you decide to partner with the kingdom of God and to surrender your life to Jesus, you are putting your foundation on the cornerstone that will not be shaken. I'm talking about a beautiful future. Come on, let's give God glory in this house. It's too good to be true. It's that wonderful. Hear me clearly. Steward what God has put in your hands, yes. Save, yes. Invest, yes. Do it all to the glory of God, but don't ever think that those things are the foundation or the security for your life. And Jesus Christ is so clear to us. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Do not store up your treasures here on earth where it rusts or where thieves can steal." But then he goes on and he says, "But do store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." Basically what Jesus is saying, hey, you don't deserve it, but here's the best investment plan ever offered in history. Because there is no chance for failure when you surrender your life to me. So we're called to go through our everyday schedule with eternity in our hearts. And as we bring heaven to earth, by having eternity seated in our hearts, we're able to shine the light of Jesus in a darkness that no other light can penetrate. The same chapter, same conversation with Jesus, just a few verses before. Jesus so clearly, before he talks about our treasure, talks about the kingdom of God's reward system. It's different. It's countercultural to this earth. Jesus makes it clear that he always looks at our heart. It's not just about doing good things. It's not just about saying the right thing. It's about the motivation of your heart. Why are you doing it and who are you doing it for? And Jesus says this. He says, if you're praying in the streets so that other people can applaud you, if you're doing good things so that other people can just say good things about you, then enjoy your reward, because your reward is their applause and your reward goes no further. But if you decide to surrender your life to Jesus and do it for an audience of one, to surrender your life daily, listen, this isn't a moment where all of a sudden the floodgates of heaven open up and you all of a sudden are changed into a different person and you walk forward like a machine, like I am on mission. No, this is your everyday moment of waking up in the morning and saying, God, this is for you. Everything that I do, Jesus, the conversations I have, the way that I treat my spouse, the way that I talk to my kids, the way that I act at work, everything about my life, Lord, it is for you. That's when you decide to choose eternal reward over temporary reward. So will you choose the reward now or later? Because our focus in every arena of life has got to be, this is for you, Lord. And Jesus goes on after he gives us a do and a don't. He cuts straight to the chase and he pulls it all together. He reveals the why behind the what in verse 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He links the treasures of your life to the desires of your heart. So let me ask you today, where is your heart? Are you caught up in the temporary? One of my heroes in my life is my grandfather. He was in the ministry for over 40 years. He served God, loved people, a humble man who surrendered his life to Jesus and saw the miraculous take place. And my grandfather is in heaven now, and I know that he's watching me today. But what I can tell you about my grandfather is every once in a while, I talk to my grandmother quite a bit and I'll say, tell me about when you guys were in ministry together. I need wisdom, teach me. And my grandmother has told me so many times that in life, when they would face a mountain, when my grandfather would hear, he said this, they did that, this fell through, that he would look at my grandmother and say, oh shoot, I'm not gonna worry about that. And then she said that he would run to his piano, which is now in our home, and he would begin to play worship to Jesus. And he would begin to sing about heaven. And he would begin to lift up his voice. And he would begin even then to enter into the presence of God and to leave his worries behind. Why? Because he knew that he was a citizen of heaven. He was just passing through. He was a pilgrim in this earth. But he knew that eternity was on the horizon. And in his last sermon, someone tagged me in it the other day and brought so many memories back to me. He said this, he said, I love my family more than I can say. I love this church family, but can I tell you, I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. I am ready to see my Lord. I am ready to be in the presence of the one who created me. And now it's not just something he said, now it's reality for him. And it will be reality for us too one day. Since the day I was born, growing up in his church, there was a phrase that was on the wall in his church, and it was one that you are very familiar with if you're part of this family. It was, the best is yet to come. And some of you, you may walk out of these doors and look at it and go, that's awesome. Absolutely, I received that. Like, I'm going to get through Friday with joy. I'm not going to lose it on Wednesday. I came to church. It set my week right. The best is yet to come. Or maybe you look at it and you go, oh yeah, the best is yet to come. I got the best year in front of me. It's gonna be awesome. And all of that is true, but think deeper about that declaration. Because every time you look at that word, the best is yet to come, every time you speak it out, I hope you are not just thinking about the temporary life that we are walking through. I hope that you understand that truly the best is yet to come. Despite the weakness in your body today, the best is yet to come. Despite the brokenness in your home, the best is yet to come. Despite the anxiety and the fear in your heart, let me declare over you tonight, the best is yet to come. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You have a beautiful future. We're going to close in just a moment. But as you stand, I do want to say to you, there are those of you in this house that you would say, Dawn Sheree, I just don't have time to do all this stuff that you're talking about, to serve, to build, to be a part of it. I've got a busy life. And what I would say to you is, all you have is time. Come on. And time is running out. It's time to invest your life, not spend it. Every time you say, I don't have time to be a part, I don't have time to serve, it's like saying, I don't have time to bring anyone with me to heaven. I'm just concerned about getting myself there. That is not the reason why you are here on this earth. You are called as a son of God, as a daughter of God, to walk in strength, to know I am the bride of Christ, to know that I am the body. That the thing that I am a part of is so much greater than the part that I play. You are called to be the building, living stones, laying your life down, brick upon brick, generation upon generation. You are called to look to heaven and see a vision of our city rocked with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Come on, lift him up in this house today. Let's worship him today. Let's glorify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church. Wow.